stand with me. I'm going to turn to the word of the Lord today. And this is Dedication Sunday. It's a special Sunday where we are dedicating children back to the Lord. But I believe I have something that will benefit everyone, whether or not you are in this place dedicating a child or not. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us. I'm going to turn to the book of Exodus. It's pretty close to the front there, so it should be quick to find. Exodus chapter 2, and we pick up in the Israelites are in Egyptian bondage. And in this, the beginning of Exodus, the Israelites have greatly increased in number. And so the Egyptians are concerned about this. And I want to just kind of read this story, the birth of Moses, a pretty big figure in Scripture. Exodus chapter 2, and I've got my English Standard Version here with me, and I'm going to read some King James in a little bit later. But this is what it says. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. We're going to explain why in a moment. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." The title of my message today is, "Make Your Baby a Basket." Make your baby a basket. You can be seated. I know if you're in here with a newborn, it's a unique time in your life. My wife and our youngest is just turned one this past month. Christian, he's 1 year old. And actually, we have a special guest with us today. My mother is here in service with us today from Austin. So thankful. I accompanied my wife this weekend. She went to California, went with her, and we brought Christian with us, and she spoke at a ladies' conference. And we took the red eye last night, left Los Angeles, LAX, at 10:30 last night, and landed here at 7 a.m., and drove here. So I just say that to say, new parents, I just wanted to kind of feel what you feel again with that team no sleep. But we're thankful to be here today. But this is a really unique passage of Scripture that we read, and kind of picks up in a pretty perilous time, if you will. And so I want to kind of put ourselves in the shoes of some of the people that are walking in this journey, in this portion of Scripture. And to give a little more context, in Exodus chapter 1, the passage before, Pharaoh is trying to figure out what to do because the Israelite people are increasing in number and he's feeling a little threatened. So he tells them, the midwives, the people that would go and help give birth to the Hebrew women, in Exodus chapter 1, and I paraphrase, in verse 16 he says, when you're doing the job of a midwife to the Hebrew women, if you see that it's a boy, kill it immediately. If it's a girl, let it live. He was literally killing all the sons of the Israelites as a way to control their population. And so, thankfully, a lot of times the midwives wouldn't obey that order. They said, well, the Hebrew boys are just born too fast. By the time we get there, they're already born. But just imagine with me how it would have felt to be the parents of Moses, right? At this time, there's no ultrasound in biblical times, so they don't know until the baby is born if it's a boy or a girl. So imagine the trepidation that you would feel knowing that there is an edict that if it is a son, he should be put to death. That is what the ruler of the land has decreed. So not only are you in bondage of another people, but now there is a decree that if this is a boy, if it's born a boy, he's supposed to be put to death. Pretty stressful time. And hopefully no one is facing anything anywhere at that immediate of a situation. But the truth is there are times when you would hear people say things like, well, this is what a terrible time to bring a child into the world. You would hear phrases when we look at the chaos of our culture, when we look at the evil that runs rampant in our world. And, you know, there is certainly an element of that we recognize, but there are really two ways to look at this. We understand that in this moment, if you're her, if you're the mother of Moses, not only is it difficult to become pregnant and have a family when you are in slavery of another nation, knowing that you would the baby that would be born would then also become a slave of these people, but now it's like not only is it difficult, but now it's gone from bad to worse. Now there's a decree out that if it's a boy, it's to be put to death. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where it seems like things are difficult, and that doesn't go from difficulty to a better situation. It goes from difficult to worse. Probably been there at a time in your life. But what's amazing about Moses that we see, and this isn't really my message, but I'm just going to sidetrack and just preach this for about 60 seconds, is that Moses was really a precursor to Jesus, right? We understand that Moses was a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do, and that Moses was born to save the Israelites. So what's amazing is at the height of the cruelty of Pharaoh, at the moment where evil was doing the most, when Pharaoh was doing his utmost to kill and to do everything against the Israelite people, when it seemed like things were at their worst, that was the exact time that God ordained a Savior to be born. So when there was difficulty in the land, Moses is born on the scene to save the people of Israel. Let me just tell you that God knows where you are and what you are going through. And at the darkest times, at the most difficult times, God can ordain that a Savior will come in the midst and move on your behalf. So let me just encourage somebody today that even when things seem difficult, even when things seem like it can't get any worse than it is, a Savior can come along and turn everything around. I'm so thankful for that, because we understand that our culture that we're living in now would love to destroy and signal the end of the church. The church is going to be destroyed by cancel culture or by rumor or by other things. But what I want you to understand today, especially those that you've brought a new child into the world, is that God knows exactly what is happening, and He has raised up a people to preserve the church through the midst of trials. So we stand here today to declare that we are with you, that we are standing as a people that will survive the trials of our culture, that we can raise our children to know and fear and love God, that God has a church. There is still a church that is going to stand before Him, righteous in His sight, doing everything we can to reach the lost. I'm so thankful for that today. Yes, it was a dangerous and a fearful time to bring a child into the world, just like it is now. But when I read the book of Romans, Romans 5 and 20 reminds me, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Let me just tell you, if you have sin and you're facing trials, yes, sin may abound, sin may be great, but wherever sin is great, grace is greater. Wherever you have great trials, there is a greater grace for you. Whenever you go through a difficult situation, there is a grace that extends beyond, above, and through. So no matter what you go through today, be encouraged in the name of Jesus that there is a greater grace for you. If you're struggling in your life, if you're struggling in your family, we serve a God of greater grace. Oh, aren't you thankful for greater grace today? Thank you, Jesus. There's a greater grace for us. Yes, the world is in turmoil, you can say. Yes, the value of the family is under attack. Yes, our culture may be turning its back on Christian values. Yes, you're going to have to make tough choices, but in the midst of chaos, I'm here to tell you today, the church is alive and well. The people of God are alive and well. We're not diminishing. We're standing strong. We're not backing down. We're moving forward in Jesus' name. And the mother of Moses, she had a trust in the Lord. We don't get to see the inner workings of her mind. We only get to see the outcome in her actions. It's an incredible thing. And let me just remind you again, 1 John 4:4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." I'm thankful for that reality today. Now we see the faith of the mother of Moses and her work in his concealment. But in verse 3, a peril arises. Exodus 2 and 3, "When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, and she dabbed it with bitumen," which was basically like a tar or like a pitch, "dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done." And this is a truth in this situation that you will face in your life as well. At some point in your life, that child that you hold, at some point even if it's not a child, the situation that you're going through, at some point, there are things that will be out of your control. And we don't like that. That's difficult. Parents, at some point, you will have to surrender that child to make its own decisions. You have to surrender that baby that you hold, and they will be able to, he or she will be able to make their own choices and do their own thing. And for you today, outside of those that are dedicating a child, there are situations in your life that you wish that you could control it. Moses' mother, she concealed him for 3 months. For 3 months, she was in control. For 3 months, she could make sure everything was okay. But at that point, at some point, she had to take that baby, she put him in a basket, and she had to release him and release control. And that is a difficult thing to do in our life. So you may be facing a situation today where you feel like it is out of control. I don't have control. And that's a tough understanding. And although his sister was there to watch, his mother had to face a new reality. She is not in control. Anything could happen. Moses could have ended up in the mouth of a crocodile, starved, drowned, exposed to the elements. We would never imagine putting a three-month-old in a situation like this. Her situation was more immediate, urgent, and dangerous than ours, but a comparison, I believe, can be made, because at some point, you will have to release your child. And even beyond parenthood, at some point, you have to understand that you are not in control of everything in your life. There are some things where you've done all you can, but it's out of your control. But the thing that I know about the story of Moses, and the thing I know about you, just like with Moses, it wasn't only his sister watching him. The Lord had his eye on Moses. Psalms 37, 25, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God didn't allow Moses to be consumed. He wasn't forgotten. He wasn't neglected. He didn't starve. He wasn't just picked up by anyone. No, he was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. And what's amazing about this, Pharaoh's daughter is the one that picks up Moses. But what does she do? She gives Moses back to his mother to nurse him and then pays her for it. Isn't that amazing? That's something that only God can do. So what I'm reminded of in this, and I know I kind of sidestepped and preached another message, so can I just sidestep again really quick? And if I were to preach another message out of this passage, I would be preaching God's work in the bulrushes. Because you and I would recognize the banks of that river were no place for that baby. That circumstance forced him there. That was not in the mind of his mother, her plan or her desire. But the bulrushes was the very place that God needed Moses to be picked up by Pharaoh's daughter for other things to happen. There's no way that the mother of Moses could have orchestrated that. So when we have to understand that she may have felt like she was letting go of something. And you may feel like there are times when you have to release something and release control. But it could it be at the same time that she released control of Moses, God stepped in and said, I know you feel like you're letting go, but I'm actually taking over, because the plan that I have for Moses is far greater than anything that you could orchestrate. It's far greater than anything you could do. Let me encourage somebody today, when you feel out of control, when you feel like you have to release some things, that's the time that God can step in and say, I'll take it from here. I know you may not understand. I know the bulrushes may not seem to be the place that my will can be accomplished, but I'm at work even in the bulrushes, even in the difficult circumstances of your life. God can do a miracle. God can work. I preached about it last week. God's the God that can work a miracle in the middle of your situation. So don't be afraid if things don't look like the way you want them to look like. Don't be afraid if you have to release some things, because when you release it, God can pick it up and do more with it than you and I ever could. Because God's at work in the bulrushes. Oh, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful that we serve a God that can make good out of every bad situation. I'm thankful for a God that although that baby should have been killed, he was actually preserved in the enemy's house. That's the God that I serve. But I'm not preaching that today. That was a sidestep. God raised up a savior in the house of the enemy. If God can bring up a Moses in the house of Pharaoh, what can he do in the midst of your situation? If God can use dirty water and bulrushes to beget an elevation, what can he do with you? God is at work today, even in the bulrushes. But at some point, you have to release that child You have to release that situation. You have to let go of that situation. So what does that mean for us? Now, I've established that the mother of Moses, she had to let go. She had to let go of the basket. She had to release it to God. So am I saying that, you know what? The answer is just to say, okay, well, I guess whatever's going to happen is going to happen. No, that's not the case. Because before she released him, she did some things. What did she do? She built a basket for Moses. But not just any basket, not just an oil basket. You know, I don't know if this basket from Marshall's is biblically accurate. I don't think that's high in the priority of basket selling. But let's just pretend that it is. This is the most biblically accurate basket I could get in a day. But maybe this is the way this basket would look normally. And it would serve the purpose. But you see, the basket that she needed to design was not just a normal basket. Because it wasn't just used to carry grain or supplies or something. No, the Bible says that she took it and she did something a little odd. She put pitch on it. She put things on this basket. So you have to understand that maybe to other people, this basket looked odd. But Moses' mother knew something that other people didn't. She knew that there was a deeper purpose in this basket than just what other people could see. So what we have to understand is that she took care. She took some time. And she said, listen, this is not just a normal basket. Other people may have said, why are you doing that? What's the point of that? Why are you putting this stuff all in this basket? But she knew something that they didn't know, because she knew, guess what? It doesn't. The way this thing looks really is kind of irrelevant. If this just looks the right way to other people, that's not really the point. I don't really just care about keeping up my image. Let me just tell somebody today, some parent today, in the same way that the mother of Moses had to prepare this basket so that it could be what it needed to be for Moses, you're doing the same thing in your life. You're making the same decision when you say, you know what? I want prayer to be in my home. You're putting that pitch on that basket. When you're saying, you know what? I want the word of God to be central in my home. Families, you may not be the parent, but you can be involved in this and say, you know what? I want to get active to make sure this baby has what it needs. Why? Because I don't really care what it looks like. I'm not after the image. I'm not after culture saying, oh, look how perfect. Look how great your family is. You know what? I don't really care so much about beauty. I care about buoyancy. I want to make sure that when my family, at some point, I'm going to have to release this child. And I want to make sure that when I release this child to the current of this culture, it can be prepared to float. This basket, it's so important to parents. I'm telling you today, parents and families, we've got to dedicate ourselves to the buoyancy of the basket of our lives, because it's up to us to prepare our children, to prepare our families. I'm asking you today, are you doing what you need to do to make sure that this basket is buoyant? Or do we just release it? Amen. At this time, our musicians can come, and our parents, if your child that you're dedicating is not in the room, feel free to go and pick up your child from the nursery. I'm moving quick today. I'm not going to be much longer. And so, church, we're going to move forward. And what's going to happen in a moment is I'm going to call these families down to the front, and the parents and the families that have gathered around them, and I'm going to pray over them, and we're going to take some time and we're going to bless them as a church. And then after they have prayed, then I'm also going to invite our church to pray, because my message today is not just for the families that are dedicating children. Let me ask you, those of you that are not here for a baby dedication, is not your life similar to this basket? In the same way, your life, your marriage, your family, and we look at these things and we would understand that she had a job to do, that it wasn't just, well, I'm just going to, you know, God's going to handle it. Yes, God is the one that directed. God is the one that orchestrated. But she had a responsibility to build the basket that Moses would go in. And not only did she have a responsibility to build the basket, she had the responsibility to make sure that it was waterproof. And again, what I'm saying is, this basket is like our life. And the pitch, the tar, the all these things, as it were, this is our spiritual walk. Because this basket, as it is now, it's not going to float. If I put this in the water, it's going to sink immediately. But I have a responsibility in my life. Only God can direct what happens, where it goes. I have to release it. I can't do His work. I can't do it without God, but He won't do it without me. You can't do what God can do. but he won't do what you're supposed to do. God can direct your life. When you, as the mother of Moses, released the basket, she had no control, but she had to build the basket. So yes, salvation, it's not an act of works. It's not something that we can do. Only God can do it. But we have a response. He's offered salvation. We have to receive it. And then after we have been born again, we have a responsibility to walk after. What I'm talking about is your basket. God expects us, hey, walk after me. Are you in my word? Is prayer a part of your life? Is prayer a part of the rhythm of your family? Is an extended family and parents and others, I want to just encourage you with this as well. This is, again, not limited, but it's not just when the child is born, because yes, we call it baby dedication, but they're blissfully unaware of what's happening. Who are we really dedicating? Ourselves. Rededicating. Lord, I want to help raise this child to love you. When I look at culture and the way culture would direct and lead, when I look at the way it would lead our children, it's not a path I want to choose for them. No, Lord, I want to be a part of the village that it takes to raise a child. So if you're here today, even if church is not your normal context, I want to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here to support your family. Thank you for being a part of this process. Whatever your faith background is, I just want to say thank you for joining today, because you're a part of this waterproofing of the life of that child. But it's not just for them, it's for us today. If they're ready, I'm going to have the families come down. We got a whole team orchestrating everything. If they're ready, I'm going to have them come on down. And if you're here, if you joined, if you're extended family, I'm gonna pray over and have our ministry team. But then in just a moment, I'm gonna invite you to come around too, and we're gonna all pray together. But I want you, just for a moment, if you can, everybody, while they're getting in place, and parents included, can you just put yourself in the shoes of Moses' mother? Just for a moment, imagine with me, you're the mother of Moses, and you know that you're about to put this, your baby, in this basket, and you're about to put it in the water. Imagine how much care and how meticulous you would be about waterproofing this basket. Would you just kind of say, I think that's good enough? No way. No way. If it were me, I would waterproof it, and I would test it. I'd put the basket in the sink. I would make sure. I would double check it. I would triple check it time and time again. That way, by the time it got to the point where I had to take this basket and set it down in the river, I would want to be 100% certain that this basket would flow, right? What would you do if it was you and you had to put your baby in a basket in the water that you made? Can you imagine those steps away as that baby began to cry? Can you imagine what it must have felt like? How much care would you take to waterproof this basket? A lot. It wouldn't be something you just casually thought about. No, you would be obsessed with it. You would be checking it and double checking and triple checking it. Right? I would. But that's what I'm saying we're doing today. When is the last time you checked the basket of your soul to make sure that it's buoyant, to make sure that, you know what? So that's what we're doing here today with these families and these children's parents. I want to admonish you. Build your baby a basket. Because someday, not from tragedy, like not from difficulty like Moses' mother, but someday you will release them. And they will make their own decisions, but it's our job to prepare them to build this basket. And we're doing that today. This is a part of the process. and church body. The reason that we do baby dedication as a body is because you are a part of this process. As you connect with families, as you come around as a body of Christ, you add that tar, you add the waterproofing, you check, you help. We're a community. We're in this together. You're not isolated. We're in this together. We have some beautiful babies and families here today. We've got Ebenezer. Wonderful. Ebenezer Kalani Mugai. Make sure, listen, get some name fright up here. I'll tell you what, because you want to get everything right. Got Odelia over here. Beautiful baby. They sit, normally sit right behind us, so I get to give back and give her a high five here and there. We got Briella right here. Beautiful Briella. She's a miracle. You're holding a miracle. And we got Jimmy LaFay Wiley. God's been good. He's been good. So what I'm going to do is we're going to take a moment and I'm going to walk around and I'm just going to pray for each one of these families. And then I'm going to have the extended families come around as well. We're going to pray. And then our whole church body, we're going to take some time and dedicate ourselves. Because this is not just a baby dedication message. This is a self-dedication message. So would you stand with me, church? And would you join as I'm going to come around and start praying. I'm just going to turn my mic off for a moment. My wife and I are going to go around and pray. But I wonder, would you just reach your hand towards one of these families? Would you just reach your hand down? And at this time, if you're an extended family member, we may not have room for everyone, but if you're an extended family and you want to come around behind, feel free to filter in around behind as I come around. I'm just going to begin to pray. You can come around behind your family and we're going to pray. Church family, could you just begin to pray with me for each one of these families? Let's pray together as we dedicate them in Jesus' name. Thank you.